This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Community Diary.
You've heard the name Meals on Wheels, definitely. They're a community service, a fully fledged and recognized non-profit organization. And today we're speaking to CEO at Meals on Wheels, Nelisa Mabenge, all about their relief efforts to assist those who are affected by the current floods. Nelisa, welcome to Power Weekend Breakfast.
Good morning, Toby. Thank you for having me, and good morning to your listeners as well.
Let's start at the very beginning. Give us some of the background on when Meals on Wheels began, what the history is there.
Thank you, Bobby. So Meals on Wheels was established in 1964, and we have been in existence up to date. Our primary focus at the time was mainly to make sure that we offer hot cooked meals to elderly people. Over time, this feeding became more inclusive to anyone of age, gender, and race. And that was to make sure that every single person did not go to bed hungry. Mm. So we started to spread out in terms of our feeding scheme. Currently now, up to date, one of our main key strategic objectives of the organization is poverty alleviation. So it is not only to make sure that we are feeding communities, but it is to also make sure that they tomorrow are able to fend for themselves. So we've embarked on a development program which is part and parcel of our key fundamental strategic pillars, development, training, skills program. And this is mainly to make sure that people get the necessary development and skills transfer so that they are able to fend for themselves. Now, what this basically means is that they are taken into an incubation system that we have created. In the system, we have embarked on various strategic partnerships that have a variety of capacities, infrastructure, and development to offer these individuals. So our partners will then step in at the various areas within the cycle to make sure that these individuals are provided with the necessary training and qualifications that are needed in order for them to be placed in the market. At this point, once they have received this particular development and skills transfer, they are then slowly worked out of the incubation system, meaning that they are able to stand for themselves. We also encourage the idea of entrepreneurship through practical skills transfer, and we trying to focus on creating an employer as opposed to job seekers, so that they too can go out there and empower other people. So that is basically what we are looking at. We are looking at seeing to it that nobody goes to bed without being fed or goes to bed in an empty stomach. And after feeding them, we look into what can we do for this individual thereafter so that they do not come back and line up for food after being fed, and they can fend for themselves.
That is so, so, so very important and so necessary in a country like ours. What have you found the response to be and some of the biggest needs to be in our country?
There are a variety of needs, but I think because of the dire situation in terms of poverty in our country and unemployment, people are actually wanting to just grab whatever is available. So what we are trying to do, though, is to encourage them to go after their dream, to go after what they are passionate about. But I think, you know, when a situation is quite desperate, one tends to abandon that dream and just grab whatever is available. So what we do, though, is we do assess what opportunities are out there in the market And we try and merge that with our training and skills transfer program so that we're able to place them in the market quicker rather than later. And we're also looking at the students that have graduated or are looking forward to graduating to make sure that they too are not stranded after they have completed their degrees and that they are able to be placed in these training programs so that they're able to be ready to be received in the market as well. So it's more of a two-pronged approach at the moment, seeing to it that we are able to make sure that the market is ready to receive them, and on the other hand, making sure that they receive the necessary training to go out to the market.
You know, what's interesting is that we haven't spoken once yet about a hot meal, which is so interesting. You know, it's about so much more. It's about elevating and sharing skills, which I think is so, so very powerful. So when Meals on Wheels encounters what is happening currently in KZN, what is the first kind of, action point as CEO that you press play on in order to mobilize your Meals on Wheels community?
Yes, I think when we first picked up and heard about the disaster, first we were obviously overwhelmed by the situation. We were very emotionally touched. I think those are one of the things that drive us in terms of being committed and dedicated in the team, is that we are very emotional about these things and we cannot sit back whilst we see these things happen in front of our very eyes. So what we normally do is we do get together as a team, which is what we did as soon as we picked up on the disaster. So we do have a cluster, a crisis management task team that we have developed so that we're able to respond to any disaster that occurs in our country. Our cluster team basically makes an assessment of the situation in terms of what is needed on the ground by the displaced communities and how severe the damages are on the ground, etc. So once we have made these assessments, we then try to see what resources we actually have in-house so that we can respond to them as effectively as possible. So once that assessment has been done, we then waste no time. We make sure we hit the ground running. We mobilize our team on the ground. We have over 180 branches. We have a national footprint in every province. So what we do first is we mobilize within that province all our ground forces to respond to the disaster. Once we see that the need is way greater than that team within that province, we then mobilize our national resources nationwide to make sure that we provide reinforcements to respond to that disaster.
Okay, so, I mean, it seems like the need is every need, right, in KwaZulu-Natal at the moment. What exactly are you looking for in terms of donations?
At this point, Poppy, we are looking for anything and everything. Our main focus, of course, is to make sure that everybody gets a hot-cooked meal, that they do not go to bed hungry. This should be the least of their problems in a crisis of this nature. Over and above that, we have picked up other needs to be blankets. People are very cold. As you know, we've entered into the winter season. So we have been trying to make sure that we embark on a blanket distribution drive to all those families that have been displaced, and that they do not sleep on cold cements within the various community and rescue halls that we have developed and set up. We are also trying to make sure that we provide clothing to children, women, men, across board of various sizes, as obviously most of them have lost their clothes. We are also seeing to it that we get them clean water. So we have partnered up with some of our brands, such as Pick and Pay, CNR brands, PepsiCo, etc., to try and make sure that we provide them with clean drinking water, as that has also become quite a scarce commodity during this time. So these are some of the needs that we have picked up over and above food that the displaced communities are in need of. Obviously, there's also the psychological element and emotional support that is required. So we do try to make sure that we not only feed the body, but that we also feed the soul. So those that are in need of prayers, those that are in need of some psychological therapy, we try to make sure that we mobilize our caregivers that are trained psychologists and have many other skills to provide this kind of service over and above to them.
Sure, that's really holistic. That's really incredible. Okay, so 31 million meals per annum, over 700 service points, over 1,400 caring volunteers, and over 280 delivery vehicles. I mean, this must cost a lot. So how do people get involved to sponsor on an ongoing basis?
I think the initiatives that we embark on just generally are in line with some of the partnerships that we have. I think our partners are also very much quite interested and touched by the situation that we have in our country. There is no way that we could do it alone. So we do drive the partnership element of it, and we also are really, really quite blessed that we are receiving donations and sponsorships, not only nationally, but internationally. Right. We do have a resource call center that works around the clock, raising funds for us on a daily basis. That is the daily key strategic deliverable. And they make sure that we are also always mobilized in terms of finances to make sure that we can respond to the needs of our country much more effectively, and also to disasters of this nature, to always make sure that we are not caught off guard, that we always stand ready. So driving the sponsorship and donation and the partnership element of things is definitely a key driver of one of the daily things that we do as Meals on Wheels Community Services, so that we make sure that we are always ready to respond to the needs of our communities on the ground.
And what about businesses? Can businesses take Meals on Wheels on as a cause that they support?
Yes, indeed. We are actually calling on everybody at this point who can come on board to please come on board. I think businesses also are realizing that they need to find more key fundamentals of existing within societies and communities that they operate within by providing and becoming relevant to the needs of that community that they operate within. So Meals on Wheels has that national footprint and operates all over the country. So I think by embarking on a strategic partnership with us would be actually quite key for them as well to participate in a more relevant sphere, regardless of whatever it is that they do. So we do encourage those businesses to also find a more meaningful existence in their operations by making sure that they give back to those communities in which they operate within.
Tell us about your orphan service.
Yes, our orphan services, they are definitely there. We have actually seen quite a lot of these children, even during this time, that have been displaced. And they're not clear on exactly what is happening. But, you know, children always try to find joy, regardless of what the situation is. We are actually trying to make sure that they, too, are closed, that they are looked after. But I think on a more of a long-term strategic objective, we also want to make sure that they receive the necessary care and education that is very key for their development as well. So we also make sure that they are placed within schools, that they receive the education necessary and development that they need as children, so that they also, or they are also not left behind in us attending to the various social needs of various societies. So we are also looking into our orphans and orphanages and making sure that they get the necessary support out there. And we are also partnering with these orphanages, because what we don't want to do is to reinvent the wheel. So once we've identified orphanages that have been running for over quite a long time and period, we look at partnering with them and seeing to it that they are mobilized with the key resources and the key resources and also the support that they need to give within their orphanages and programs that they've embarked on.
I think that, you know, out of real need comes what I suppose always is there to make us remember what humanity is, right? So in disaster, in pain, in pandemics, when we look out for the helpers, the people who are putting their energy behind assisting and uplifting, this truly becomes where we see Ubuntu at work, where we see our hearts at work. So thank you for the work that you do. Is there a toll-free number? Do we do that anymore? Or is that hashtag old school? A social media URL? Is there something that just one touch point, Nelisa, that we can go to today if we'd like to participate?
Absolutely. People can please go to our website, because I think that is our landing page for all the information that is required in terms of our social media handles, our banking details, and even drop-off points that we are having at the moment to accept any form of donations in terms of dry food, water, and blankets. So I think they can visit us at www.mow.org.za. We also do have drop-off points around KZN area in Sigma Business Park, Umbilo Road, Marburg Haven, and Chatsworth, Meals and Wheels. So these are some of the drop-off points where we're accepting any forms of donations from people. And I think there they'll also find our banking details that is displayed there, and they're more than welcome to send us any form of donations that they can at this point as a contribution towards our disaster relief initiative.
Oh, amazing. Well, thank you, and we wish you all the strength as you move through making sure that those who are affected in KwaZulu-Natal can feel a little touch of love and support from Meals on Wheels. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
Bobby. There we go. That is our community diary segment here on Power Weekend Breakfast, talking to the CEO at Meals on Wheels, Nelisa Mabenge, talking about some of the outreach and the fully fledged energy towards assisting those affected by the KZN floods.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.